This is Spiritual Civilization, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about faith.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening from whichever part of the world you're watching us from. Welcome once again to another episode of Spiritual Civilization, hosted by One Desire. And before you, as we used to say in primary school, let me start on my far right. Evans Onyango, pastor, a very nice fella. And then closer right is Robinson Omol, a very good friend of mine and vice chair of One Desire. And I am Leli Mandela, the chair of One Desire. And today we are proud to be your hosts. And together with us is a wonderful man, I believe, from watching these episodes consistently, if it's not the first time, I have come to appreciate the wisdom and fitness that flows out of him when he speaks. And so, even as we start, I'm going to make a prayer, then we'll start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the bread of life, O Lord Father, that sustains us in every season, O Lord Father. And this day, O Lord Father, may your word come alive to us. May it be our daily bread. May it be the word for the day, O Lord Father, that moves us into the next season.
Amen.
For this we pray, trusting and believing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And therefore, I'm going to hand over to a wonderful, wonderful person, our spiritual father. I'll just say my internet will look a bit. Bishop Gobanga J.O.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful time that we are once again gathered here with these wonderful gentlemen who are practitioners in their own right. And we want to go straight away to the conversation today. We want to discuss on the topic of faith. Faith is a very broad term, but we will try our level best to be able to just highlight some of the things that we are able to capture even as the conversation is ongoing. I'll just read two common scriptures from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'll also be reading Hebrews chapter, same book of Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'll be reading from the King James Version. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then I'll skip to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me start by just telling us that, you know, the fact that you've not been able to access or rather even enter certain realities should not make you think that those realities do not exist. Mm-hmm. Just because you've never experienced what I have experienced does not mean that what I have experienced does not exist. Just because I have never experienced what you have experienced does not necessarily mean that what you've experienced does not exist. Because at the end of the day, reality is reality irrespective of your level of relative comprehension. And it's important for us to understand that in the realm of faith, everything is possible as long as it is within the jurisdiction of God in Christ. Because Christ Jesus is the fullness of all things. And that's why it's important for you and I to be at a place where we are able to tread in the realm of impossibilities. And the currency that you would actually use to trade in the realm of impossibilities is faith. And the smallest denomination of faith in biblical terms is that faith that is like a mustard seed. So friends, maybe I would want to open this conversation just basically to be able to hear from you. When someone talks about faith in the invisible God or faith in the Word of God, what is your basic understanding of the same? And to what extent have you been able to interact with the realm of faith? That is, if at all you have. If you've never interacted with it, please don't lie to us. But if at all you have, probably you can just shed light, because at the end of the day, it has to be according to your own experience. Because the truth of the matter, beloved, is that your level of comprehension is what enables you to touch base with what I would refer to as reality. What may be reality to you may not be reality to me. Mm-hmm. And reality can only be reality depending on your level of understanding of life. So, over to you, people.
Rob is looking at me suspiciously, so I think I'll just start. I think the most basic or fundamental aspect of faith is basically faith in God himself, because God is someone that no man has ever seen. I think scripture records only Moses having seen the backside of God. And I think having interacted with, God, I think throughout the course of my spiritual walk, one of the things that I've come to realize is, just as you've read, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So even just relating with God in itself requires faith. Because there are certain things that you will hear from the Spirit of God. They might not appear to make sense. They might not appear to really go hand in hand with even your situation or your circumstance. But faith transcends your circumstance. It transcends your situation. And I think when you talk about Christendom, when you talk about being a believer, the very essence of being a believer is the reality of, or the advent of Christ's second coming. That we have faith in the fact that Christ is going to come back. And I think the fact that it says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think there are two dimensions of faith. There's the positional aspect of faith, and then now there's the experiential aspect of faith. Uh-huh. So the positional aspect of faith is basically what you read in scripture. For example, we are more than conquerors in Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That appears positional until you come to the place where you touch base with the personal aspects of those scriptures, where I understand that beyond me just being a part of the body of Christ, that there is this personal one-to-one relationship that I am required to have with the Spirit of God. Because without that, then my faith is not practical. Faith needs to be pragmatic. It needs to be dynamic. That each and every day when I wake up in the morning, I'm not just taking my Bible and then reading or doing what you'd call quiet time. And then now I delude myself every single day if I do that now I'm living in faith. There has to be that practicality, that even when I go out, when I interact with people, they're able to see something that sets me apart or makes me different from any other person out there who's not a believer. So I feel like there's the positional aspect of faith, but then there's the practicality. And I feel like that's where many believers miss it, because they delight in the benefits of salvation. But when it comes to the practicality, where God actually tells you to die daily, where God tells you to let go of certain things, that is where you see believers falling short. Yeah.
Yeah, I think to answer that question, when I say I have faith in the invisible God, or I have faith in the Word of God, a number of things come to mind. There's knowledge that I must actually know the Word of God. I must know who God is. The initial way of any person to become a believer is by hearing the Word of God. It's by faith comes by hearing. Mm. So when we hear, when somebody preaches to us, that is how we come to believe. That is how we come to know about whom we are talking about. We know God by a preacher preaching to us, by the revelation of the scriptures. That's how we get to know. That's where faith is birthed from. And then there's the aspect of believing, that once I have received the word, I have to believe this word.
Yeah.
I have to embrace it in my heart. That is the second level, I would say, of faith. And then finally, the third is trusting in the word. And I think it relates to what Evans was saying, because there are people who say, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in Christ, I believe in God, I believe in the word of God, but their actions seem to tell us that they do not really believe in that very word, in that same Christ that we're talking about. Because when you believe in someone or something, your actions are predicated by the thing that you trust in, or the person whom you trust, the person whom you have faith in the person whom you believe. Therefore, if I say that I believe in God, then I have to put all my trust in God. If I say that I believe, that I have faith in the word of God, then I have to put all my trust in the word of God.
Yeah.
That whatever the word of God says to me, then I am, that is how I will govern my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe faith is those three aspects encompassed in one. You have to have knowledge, you have to have your faith, your belief, and you have to have trust. Yeah.
When I think on this question of faith, one of the most interesting verses for me is 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, where it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." So from this verse, it's a very interesting verse. It's about King Asa of Judah. So he was being invited by the king of Israel. Then he took the gold and the silver from the temple and sent it to another king and told him, "Hey, let's form an alliance." So this prophet comes towards him and gives him this word. No, he says, from verse 7, "At the time Hanani the seer came to Asa the king of Judah and said to him, 'Because you relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you.'" And then he goes verse 8, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied then on the Lord, he gave them into your hand." Then verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." Other verses say those to show himself strong to those hearts whose hearts are loyal to him, fully rely on him. It's but the idea is faith is, from this verse, is what causes us to be able to receive from God.
Mm.
Because sometimes we think faith is about moving God when God has already done his part.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is actually what causes us to be able to receive from God. And as you can see, like for example, in this case, the king Asa of Judah was not able to receive God's victory, which was already there, but because he lacked faith, he put himself in a position not to be able to receive. So sometimes we think which is true, faith also moves mountain, but faith causes us, for me primarily how I see it nowadays after going through that scripture, is that faith is what causes us or prepares our hearts or gives our hearts ground to be able to receive what God has already done for us.
Thank you so much. There is one thing that I'd like us to discuss. You know, faith is not just in the person of God. Faith is basically in the voice of God, or the word of God. Well, let me just use the word, the voice of God. And you know, there are times whenever you are faced with a challenge, and then you tell yourself that I believe in the word of God, then you pick a particular scripture and you start citing that scripture loudly as you pray. And then in the process of time, whatever you anticipated to happen does not come to pass. You see? So to that extent, would you now say that, it looks like maybe God did not honor his word? You know, many times we always like to put a noose around God's neck, if I may put it that way. That your word says this, so it must happen. And yet you're forgetting that faith is in what God says, his voice. Yes, there is the scriptures. But you know, until the scriptures becomes the voice of God, which in this case basically is dependent on the person of the Holy Spirit within you to be able to understand exactly what is God's will for a particular situation, you find that many people get disappointed. You see, because most times you find that people do not even take cognizance of the fact that, yes, you may be faced with the situation, but the question is, what is the mind of God about this situation? Not what is the scripture of God. Because there are certain things that the scriptures will not talk about. Like, for instance, the scriptures will never tell you where you stay, where you should stay. The scriptures will never tell you, and I'm sure none of you read in the Bible about the wives you are to get married to. You know? You actually knew for sure that it has to be mercy, it has to be lean, it has to be koi, you know, because I don't think there's any way in the scripture. Because if the scripture were to show you the names of your spouses, then I don't even think the Bible would actually be the kind of volume that we actually have today. So that means that there are certain times people must understand that there is what the scriptures tell us, which is basically the principle. But when it comes to specifics, we must be able to establish what is the specific will of God about a situation. Is it in his will for me as a person to go ahead with the plans that I had, or should I set aside the plans so that I'm not in that situation where I'm faced with some trouble, or let's say I want to go for a job interview, and I start quoting the scriptures, greater is he that is in me than him who is in the world. I shall be the head and not the tail. You know, we quote these scriptures anyhow, you know, and you end up going for the interview and you miss the job. You just fail. And an unbeliever gets it and mocks your God. You know, so I feel I want us to just discuss that just for the purposes of the viewers, because a lot of times people have ended up giving up on God because of the fact that they know what the Bible says and they quote what the Bible says for their own situation. Devoid of considering that, hey, you cannot use the Bible to catch God. The Bible is the book, the Holy Writ. It is the body of the knowledge of everything you need to know about God. But the question is the Bible in and of itself the voice of God? You see, that's something that we need to know. We know that the scripture is true. It is spiritually inspired. But what about the voice of God? You see, just the same way we have a constitution of this republic. There is the letter and the spirit of the constitution. The spirit of the constitution is basically the intention. What was the intention of the framers of the constitution? What did they have in mind when they decided to, you know, draft down certain clauses that now become the articles of our constitution. Because I can just use the constitution just to, and I bend it for my own purpose. And that is very, very common. And I'm sure Lily understands this because he's a lawyer. You know, lawyers can just quote the law anyhow. You know? They just quote the law. And for sure, their citation of the law is very accurate. But the truth is, what is the ill intent? What is the intention, rather? Is it an ill intention or is it righteous? So I just want us to discuss that further.
You know, I think when you said that, a number of things came to my mind. In what Bishop is saying, he's not alluding to the fact that you should not even quote scripture, or maybe, let me put it this way, even memorize scripture, or maybe remember what the scriptures say. He's not alluding to that. Those, in fact, those are very wonderful things that we ought to do. The thing that he's alluding to is that in the journey of your life, in the way that your life is patterned, there's a scripture that you can quote right now that does not apply to the path that you are on in your life. That scripture does not apply to you, but it may apply to Evans's situation.
Mm.
The scripture is true, but it will not apply to me. And I may say all I want to say it then many number of times as I want, but it will work for Evans, but it won't work for me. And the reason is we have to cultivate a culture of hearing God. What the scriptures do, as Bishop has said, the scriptures give us the principle, but the Spirit of God must excavate the truth and the nature and the intentions of God from the scriptures, so that as that reality is what rests in your heart. It is not the John 3:16 or John 11:35 that you have memorized, that you've hidden in your heart, but it is the Spirit, the intentions, the purpose for which the Spirit of God has, that rests in your heart. That's what the scripture means when it says, hide I hide your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. It is not the letter that causes me not to sin against God, but it is the Spirit of God, that which I have embraced, the reality, the truth about who God is and what he has done in my life, embracing that in my heart, and that is what enables me to conquer. So that's one thing that has really stood out for me. I think we need to not look at the Bible as a manual to answer all our questions, but we need to look at it as a code that we must decode, each of us in our own unique lives for ourselves. Now, that does not mean that you use the Bible to also push your own agenda, because we have seen that also happening. The reality is we have to be people who are led of the Spirit in such a way that when we are able to decode what the Spirit of God is saying, there's that which you will be able to do that will not fall to the ground. There's that which you'll be able to do that you can even other people will be able to see and testify that truly the Lord is working with you. It's not something that you can just read and do. It is something that you have to journey with God. That's why we are not just born of water. We are born of water and spirit. Yeah, so that's off the bat, that's what I was thinking.
I feel like I want to ride on your point. I think there's a difference between faith and ambition. And I think people forget that there's actually a huge difference between the two. So just because I have an idea or I have a certain ambition to do something. So it might be, I think Bishop has given a good example about our marriages. The fact that we each had a very unique journey into how we actually got to the place of marriage. And I think sometimes we have this this idea in our minds of what exactly the ideal spouse would look like. You know, she needs to look like this physically. She needs to have this sort of career. She needs to be this kind of person. But according to God, he has a totally different perspective of who that person is supposed to be. And the same case also goes for our careers. Sometimes we have this certain idea of what our careers are supposed to be. God is calling you into business, but then you're insisting on employment, or it's even vice versa. But then someone puts a rubber stamp and says, I'm called into business, yet the person is supposed to be in employment. So they struggle for so long and they ask themselves, what exactly is going on? And yet the person insists they have faith. They have faith and they know that God has placed them in a certain place to succeed, but it's their own idea. It's their own ambition. And I think that's why the book of Proverbs talks about committing your plans to the Lord, that he may be able to make you succeed. It's because as human beings, we can plan a lot of things. And it's within the wisdom of God to know what exactly is the path that we should take in as far as his purpose is concerned. And when we fail to submit those plans to God, then there's a high possibility that we might move along the way even for years, even marry a certain person and think we are actually in God's will, yet in the real sense we are not. We've actually missed out. So I feel like there's that place of also submitting and committing our plans to the Lord, that even as we submit them to him, he will be able to give us clarity about how exactly are we required to move. Because we can easily miss it. We might think that we are right. We might think that we have everything figured out. But God is the one who basically has the blueprint. And as Bishop rightly said, there are so many things that are not necessarily in the word about what exactly God would desire us to do. And so on us is really on us as believers to have the spirit of God and to have discernment to know what exactly he desires per time, per season, and how exactly he desires us to navigate through the various seasons of our lives.
It's true, but they have both said. Sometimes we misapply the word of God to our situations because we do not understand God's purpose, which is embedded in his voice for the situation. We jump on with the scriptures.
let me say, right scripture, wrong place, if I may just put it that way, because we've not understood what God's purpose for our lives is.
Yeah.
If we understand God's purpose for our lives, even when sometimes the setback may look like a product of lack of faith, but in reality it is, it may be actually a product of faith because you are walking in line with God's bigger picture for your life. I think it all comes down to the understanding of, do I understand what is my purpose? What is the destiny and direction God is taking me through?
Mm.
You know, there is the overarching purpose of God for the journey of mm-hmm. your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is what I would also call the purpose of God per time, per season.
Yeah.
So when you understand the purpose of God, then you're also able to know specifically what is the will of God within a particular season. Okay? You know that in this particular season, this is what God wants you to walk in so far as his purpose is concerned. So then now within that particular purpose, there are specific things that God would want you to accomplish as part of you fulfilling his will. So much to say that even when, let's say, for instance, you are faced either with a challenge or you're faced with a particular need, you are able to understand that within the construct of the overarching purpose of God, not just for the journey of your life, but also for a particular time or for a particular season, you're able to know what is His will. Because you see, God's will is what enables you to be able to walk, to fulfill your particular destiny. And you know, when you know that, what God's will is, you'll be very surprised to discover that some of the things that you're very much ambitious of, or things that you just desire, just a normal human desire, it may not necessarily be that you're desiring something which is sinful. It is just the fact that you're a human being and you've got certain things that you crave, or rather you covet after. They may not be necessarily sinful, but as far as God is concerned, His will is not there. If you're the kind of person who's able to surrender to the purpose of God, then you'll not struggle in being able to submit to God's perfect will. And that way you'll find that whatever God has said, insofar as His will is concerned, that is what you put your faith on. Because your faith should be in what God has spoken. Okay? And that way you'll find that there's going to be a convergence between what God says in relation to now what I normally refer to as the preceding word of God, which is basically the scriptures. Now, there are two statements here that I want us to analyze. And this statement, I remember one of my speech or sons, this is Dennis Muthuri. There were some years ago he ministered on my pulpit, and he was talking about faith. And I think I still remember what he said. But what I did is that I decided now to, you know, to elucidate. I referred this thing as my elucidated version of Dennis Muthuri's lingo during the delivery of the sermon. So the first statement he said, this is basically my own understanding. Faith inspires divine energy that is resident in the nature of God through His purpose to configure and manifest the supernatural. That is how I decided to elucidate it. And then the second statement he said, which is very profound, is faith is a culture of higher living that inspires an individual to transcend from the limited norm to embracing the grace of God to access the supernatural dimensions of Christ. So maybe we can look at the first statement, that faith inspires divine energy that is resident in the nature of God through His purpose to configure and manifest the supernatural. So what is your understanding? We need to probably break this statement down for the purposes of viewers. This is your own brother, Dennis Muthuri.
Yes.
I think I can say he's been, when I had him say this statement, I remember, you know, writing it down, and it is not exactly how he put it, but I decided to use my own language, you know, Gobanga's language, to be able to capture exactly what he actually said. So, yes, faith inspires divine energy that is resident in the nature of God through His purpose to configure and manifest the supernatural.
I think the thing that captures me about that, it reminds me of the verse that we began by reading, which is, for it is impossible to please God without faith, because he who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who honestly seek Him. So I started to think about that scripture, just connecting with what Minister Dennis shared. I see it as, you cannot access anything invisible, any treasure that is invisible, any good thing that is invisible, without faith, without first believing that God exists and that He's a rewarder of those who honestly seek Him. Because God, He Himself cannot be seen by the naked eye. he himself cannot be seen. So what faith does is when you believe in he who cannot be seen, you get divine energy that is activated because of your faith in him, of your belief in him, and of your trust and understanding that he is a rewarder of those who honestly seek him. So in that realm of knowing him and pursuing him, you have automatically activated all the things, as Leli also earlier shared, you have activated all the things that he has already done for you. So now you are able to receive. There's no way we can receive anything from God without this divine energy. And this divine energy only comes through faith, because faith is what activates this reality. It's, you see, when the scripture says, you cannot please God without faith, God is pleased to give us all these good things: peace, grace, mercy, favor. He's pleased to give all these things to us, but we cannot access it without faith. We cannot live our lives devoid of faith and access the benefits and the treasures for which God has given unto us. So that is how I see that statement. Those statements.
I'd also say faith is what causes us to rise above the limitations we impose on ourselves by use of the five cardinal senses.
Mm.
Our ears, mouth, nose, you know, what we use to gauge every situation from a human perspective. Faith is what God has given to the believer as an access to be able to go beyond the limitations of carnality.
Yeah.
Because the supernatural, of course, is beyond natural.
Yeah.
It is beyond what we, our five carnal senses. And therefore, in order to even to be able to experience it, we must also come to a place where we go beyond the natural, and that is where we use this vehicle called faith. That is where we start considering, where we are able to consider impossibilities, we are able to consider far-fetched possibilities, we are able to consider and to start believing that because it is beyond what is within my grasp and control, I have to now start having a believing God, because God is beyond my five carnal senses. You know, that's why it's so hard to sometimes, you know, you argue with an atheist and they're like, how, you've not seen God, you've not touched God, how do you believe? And it is because of that thing called faith. It is because you are taking that step to go beyond the natural senses. So faith is what activates our supernatural senses, if I may say.
Mm.
It is what activates and energizes our spirit to be able to commune with God and his purposes and his intentions for us.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really powerful. I think just based on the statement that Minister Dennis said, my definition of faith is that faith is the currency with the highest exchange rate. The reason I say so is because every time you pray, the one ingredient or the most fundamental aspect that God looks at is the level of faith that you have. So your prayers are answered on the strength of God's will as well as the level of faith that you have. So if it is in tandem with God's will, but then you lack faith, then there's a possibility that that prayer may not necessarily not be answered, but there's a possibility that it might take a longer period of time. And I think we had a man of God, Bishop Mulumbi, who is actually our bishop's spiritual father. He came and said that he talked about quantum leaping. And one of the fundamental aspects of quantum leaping is the reality of faith, that I can be able to basically access levels of possibilities in God that I have not been able to fathom. No eye has seen, no ear has been able to hear, by virtue of the level of faith that I have. Because faith is that one thing that grants you access to those possibilities. So if you think about the things that are impossible, I think one of the things that is plaguing us right now, and I believe even the viewers can attest to the same, is the challenges we are having in terms of the economy. And of course, inflation and the cost of living being really, really high. Consider that the reason as to why that is in place is because of the fact that there are sons who are yet to arise in faith and be able to basically access the possibilities that are there in God for certain economic policies to be implemented so that the economy is able to come to the place where it is required to get to. And I believe that that essential ingredient of faith, if it was very, very present, even the body of Christ would be at a higher level of function as compared to where they are today. Because some of the challenges that we are facing as the body of Christ are as a result of a lack of faith. Mm-hmm. Because faith is that one ingredient that triggers what appears to be impossible to become possible. Mm-hmm. And even when you consider divine energy is basically activated within the context of faith. Mm-hmm. So if I have faith, then I basically am able to activate divine energy, and that divine energy is able to attract favor, it's able to attract possibilities, and is able to basically align me to the grace of God. So I believe that faith is the one ingredient, much as it might appear very, very basic, it's the one ingredient that is lacking in very many believers to be able to manifest divine solutions, and also to be able to manifest divine energy that will now cause them to manifest ourselves.
Thank you so much. So now the second statement, this one is quite a profound statement that Minister Dennis says. Yeah. He describes faith as a culture of higher living. Okay. Mm-hmm. Faith being a culture of higher living that inspires an individual to transcend from the limited norm to embracing the grace of Christ, mm-hmm, to access the supernatural dimensions of Christ. Mm. Faith is a culture of higher living, mm, that inspires an individual to transcend from the limited norm, to embrace the grace of God, to access the supernatural dimensions of Christ. Mm. I want us to analyze that statement. Like when Muthuri says that faith is a culture of higher living, what do you really understand by that? You know, I think that's the most important thing to understand. Faith being a culture of higher living. You know, once you're able to understand that, then you'll be able now to tie in to be able to capture what is this culture of higher living that inspires, that triggers, if I may use that word, that actuates an individual to be able to rise above the limited norm, okay? Mm. The wording that I use was to transcend from a limited norm in order to be able to embrace the grace of Christ, the grace of God rather, not the grace of Christ, the grace of God, in order to be able to access the supernatural dimensions of Christ.
I think the reason it makes sense why faith is a culture of living is because it totally goes against the grain. It's not very, very customary, for example, for someone to say that I believe that a person that has cancer will be healed. It is very, very unconventional. But because of the fact that it transcends a certain perspective in as far as humanity thinks, that in itself is characterized as faith. And I think because most people who are actually people of faith, if you consider Noah, for example, who built the ark, a lot of the people who are watching him build the ark had so much doubt. They were like, what is this person doing? And they mocked him, and even together with his family. So you consider people who have faith, most of the time it goes against the way and the pattern in which people believe, or the way in which they do things. So I believe, in a sense, it's something that stands out. It's something that sets you apart. It's a way of living that is not very, very normal, in a sense. It's basically a way of living that goes totally against the grain. And that is why I'd consider it as a culture of living, as Minister Dennis said.
I think for me, the thing that really stands out, I think I'd use it, the thing that came to my mind actually when you were just sharing those statements is how I've had this said before, like from my own personal testimony, like how did you handle this? or how did you go through this without reacting or responding in this particular way?
Yeah.
There are certain things, there's a certain dimension that you enter into, a state of higher living, so to speak, because your faith gives you access to the unlimited possibilities that are in Christ.
Mm.
So you are able to see natural situations with a supernatural eye. And so you're able to overcome things easier. You're able to have virtue in harmonious circumstances, things in situations where things may even be very difficult or things may seem impossible. Even, I'll add this, even when things seem foolish, you will look foolish in certain situations. I've encountered such scenarios whereby I'm the one who looks stupid. But at the end of it all, you're able to actually see the victory in the faith that I have. You're able to see why in a difficult situation, instead of complaining, you are singing worship and praising God. You are, your state is not interfered with because of the one whom you believe in. So you're not governed by circumstances or sicknesses or insults or persecutions or anything of the sort. You're not governed by anything except the one whom you believe in and trust in. And that's how I see it, because there's no other higher way to live except to live according to the standard of Christ. That's why Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, because his goal had always been to walk as Christ walked, talk as Christ talks. All these things. Even Christ himself told us that I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So when we look at the reality of that, when we just sell up on that, we are able to actually realize that the abundant life is not accessed without Christ. The abundant life is actually accessed in Christ. And that's even the reason why we sit here and we are doing this. It is because the minute we are able to step into that by faith, the minute we're able to have an understanding of what Christ has already given unto us, has already entrusted to us, we will be living our lives in a very unique way. There will be solutions in our economy, in our government. There will be solutions in the family front. We will have churches that are functioning to serve the purpose of the kingdom and not their own purpose. We will see immense growth in the nation, in individuals. We will see intelligence going up higher. We will even nature itself will begin to respond to us. This land, which is very rich in resources and minerals, will begin to respond to us because we have shifted in our spiritual state. So that's how I see it.
When we say faith is a higher way of living, of course, we are talking about you are transcending natural living, going into supernatural living. You are transcending your perception of yourself and perception of life and perception of circumstances is changing, not according to your power, but according to God's power. I think that is one of the first things that you know has landed with me. That now I've decided I am surrendering what has been what would I say, my ceiling of living now, in order to accept God's unbridled ceiling of living. God has no ceiling of living. God has no limitations. There are no limitations to how he lives. So for me, that is the first thing. And even when that statement was read, took me to a sermon you had in 2011, I believe, 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
When a certain prophet, Prophet Steve, I believe, if I remember his name well, a very old prophet, he came to our church and he preached a very interesting sermon when he was still down at Abbey about faith. And was it Abbey or were we at YMCA that day? I don't remember, one of the two. And he talked about something. He said he talked about faith and he referred to the scripture of where the disciples were, they failed to cast out a demon, and then the father went to Jesus and was like, I brought my son to your disciples and they failed to cast him out. And Jesus was like, for how long will I stay with you people? And then he cast out the evil spirit, and then later on the disciples come to him in incognito and they're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, you could not cast out because of doubt and unbelief.
Mm.
And doubt and unbelief come to us because of the things we perceive by our natural senses.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is not working, so it creates doubt. I doubt whether God wants this for me. And sometimes this thing is not working, so I don't even believe God is for me. That is unbelief. Doubt is, I know God can, but you, maybe. Unbelief is, I know God won't do it for me. I don't believe at all God will do this for, he's interested in me, not even the situation, he's interested in my affairs in this situation.
Yeah.
And when you're told to arise to a higher way of living, you're being told to have trust in God, that God has our intentions at heart, that with every situation we're able to see the victory of God in it. We are able to see beyond what the limitations of our present circumstances say, beyond the limitations of what our present economy say, beyond the limitations of the health of our bodies and so on and so forth. You think this is the one that will kill me, but a person of faith will be able to see and go beyond that, and is like, I am seeing the victory of Christ in all this. And you know, it says this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting, and what prayer and fasting of as you know, kills the flesh. So in order to access higher realms of faith, you're being told kill the flesh more, rely less on my senses, rely less on what is natural and ascend to the supernatural, ascend to God's higher way of living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says that we are to set our minds on things above, mm-hmm, and not things below. Now, setting your mind on things above basically is not just a one-off act.
Yeah.
Setting your mind on things above should actually be a lifestyle. And this is a lifestyle of faith, whereby you, in as much as you know that, yes, you are in the world, but you're not of the world.
Yeah.
In other words, your life is modulated by a pattern and by a system that transcends that which is the natural. And this kind of a transcendent kind of lifestyle is a lifestyle whereby you are able to see the realities, and these are tangible realities, realities of possibilities in Christ. Okay, you're able to see the reality of all possibilities in Christ that makes you to understand and say with Christ that all things are possible to them that believe. You see, all things become possible only when you're able to see the reality of the possibilities. And these possibilities, they are usually wrapped up within the dimension of opportunities. Okay. They are always within the dimension of opportunities. And you see, opportunities, sometimes we may not be, if we are not very careful, we may not see opportunities, especially when we are going through a crisis.
It's true.
Anytime when you're faced with a crisis, ask yourself what opportunity or opportunities have been presented that have been capsule within a particular crisis or within a particular circumstance in which you are in. The circumstances may be good or they may not be good, and in most cases they are not so good. But the important thing is for you to be able to see beyond the veil of your circumstances and see what opportunities are there, because to every opportunity there are myriad of divine possibilities. And it is those possibilities that enable you to come to the place whereby you live a lifestyle, which basically Muthuri refers to as a culture of higher living. You live a lifestyle of higher living that makes you not be moved by circumstances. Because all you know is that this higher living enables you to live above, or rather to soar above those limited norms. Why? Because of one thing, that you have access to the grace of Christ, and it is this grace of Christ that enables you to access the supernatural dimensions of Christ. And the other thing you must understand, friends, is that, you know, the concept of faith is one of the most abused and misunderstood realities of religion in the world today. Because many times people think that faith is just blind belief. You believe blindly with your cranial mind in acceptance of a reality you ascribe to. That is really not the case here. We must understand that faith is not a belief or an ideology of your mind. No, it is not where you persuade your mind to believe something without a strong conviction. You can say that you believe something, but the question is, where is the conviction? You must have a conviction that backs up your belief. And the conviction only comes as a result of the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to be able to see those possibilities that are wrapped up within that scope of reality or realities. Because, beloved, the bedrock of faith is the knowledge of your inner self. It is what gives birth to an unshakable conviction of practical reality of a divine life. Because, beloved, we must see faith as the perceived realities in the spirit that makes us to be able to bring it into visible manifestation. Nothing will manifest except that you're able to perceive realities in the spirit. Realities are not in the natural. Realities are in the spirit. So what we normally do is that we are supposed to access the realms of the spirit and bring forth that which you're able to perceive into manifestation within the natural arena. So that brings us to the end of the first part of this conversation. And I look forward to meeting you again, even as we get to the second part of this conversation. So over to you.
As you've heard, there's a part two coming up, still on the subject of faith, and a lot of things, I believe, if you have been paying attention till now, have started being activated in your spirit, man. And with that, see you in part two.